Music fades. All I can hear is my heartbeat, pounding in my ears. My gaze snaps up to Blake's, and something in his eyes makes me shiver. I recall the vial of poison he took from me in the kitchens, the one I was going to use on Isla. He said he had a use for it. Did he use it on them? The corner of his lip quirks in answer to my unasked question. Will they survive? I ask.
Perhaps, perhaps not, he shrugs. What do you think?
A shadow stirs inside me, provoked by the darkness in Blake's gaze. Everything else seems distant. He is offering to kill them for me. I do not know how to feel about that. They deserve death for what they were intending to do. But could my conscience bear it? I swallow. I don't know.
Pity.
Are they in pain?
Very much so.
I grab my beaker with shaking hands, clutching at the wood until my knuckles whiten. I smile. Good. Blake raises his glass, and God has helped me. I clink my beaker against it and drain it. I wince as the hot, smoky liquid burns my throat. Coughing, I place it back down upon the table. Blake nudges the bottle toward me before getting up and walking back into the crowd. I pour myself another whiskey. He's right. It does take the edge off.
You're drunk!
Callum roars. Hundreds of candles flicker on the tabletops, and the light dances over his handsome face. James has gone to mingle with his people, so Callum and I are alone at the Alpha table. The great hall is a blur of dancing and brawling and music. I poke him in the chest, feeling the hard muscle beneath his shirt. I giggle. You're drunk! He laughs, as if he cannot believe what he's seeing.
I am a bit, not as much as you.
He shakes his head.
You're going to be a bloody nightmare tomorrow when the hangover kicks in. Goddess, I'm a wee bit scared.
You're scared of me?
Oh, aye, very.
You said I was small.
You are small. You're a small and fearsome creature.
His face swims in and out of focus. I grab both sides of his head and push my forehead into his.
That's not a very nice thing to say.
He laughs again, and his big hands curl around my waist.
You see, terrifying.
I dip my mouth to his ear. That thing you did last night. I want you to do it again. He stills, his fingers tightening, and a soft groan scrapes his throat. His expression is pained.
Let's see how you feel in the morning, shall we?
No, now. He twists me around and pulls me onto his lap.
You see, you're a small, fearsome, and demanding creature.
His warm breath tickles my ear.
And believe me when I say, if you torture me tonight, I shall repay the debt tomorrow.
I'm not torturing you.
I try to face him, but he pulls me back again, his thick arm hooked around my waist. His chest rises and falls deeply against my back.
Oh, but you are. I'm hard just thinking about what we did last night, and about how much I want to do it again right now.
His words turn my insides to molten gold. He nips my ear with his teeth, and I gasp.
I'd slide my hand between your legs right now if I could. I'd make you come while they all danced, oblivious to what I was doing to you.
My pulse hammers in my ears, heat pooling at my core. Why don't you do it then? The wolf is in his eyes, and he does not try to hide it.
Because you're drunk, and I'm drunk, and I fear you'd regret it in the morning.
I stroke the side of his face, my fingers tracing his lips. I wouldn't. His eyes return to their usual forest green.
Be that as it may, I won't take that risk while you're drunk. I will dance with you, though.
I'm not drunk.
I push my fingers into his mouth. He nips them playfully with his teeth. I giggle.
You are very drunk, princess.
He glances at the writhing mass of people on the dance floor.
Let's dance.
I don't know the moves. Callum nods at a couple of wolves, spinning around and causing mayhem as others dodge out of their path.
I don't think many of them do either.
A grin spreads across my face, and I jump up. Okay, come on then. He takes a deep breath, giving me a sheepish smile.
Aye, just give me a moment.
He looks away from me, exhaling. I'm about to ask him what the problem is, but he adjusts his kilt and gets up. He puts an arm around my waist, smiles, and leads me to the dance floor. I'm happy. The thought jolts through me like a silver bullet, unfamiliar and strange and certain. My feet ache from dancing. Strands of my hair escape their pins and stick to my face. My chest hurts because I'm constricted by my corset, and I'm far too hot beneath my long lacy sleeves. Yet I am happy. I do not hide the smile on my face, or my squeal of glee as Callum spins me around, his eyes filled with wonder and delight. His hands are warm and firm around mine. The joy that has washed over me seems to have flooded the entire great hall. The dance floor has cleared a little since earlier, with some of the wolves heading into the alcoves, but the nearby wolves dance alongside us. They're too caught up in the music and the alcohol and their own laughter to throw any ill feeling my way. I have attended many dances in my 20 years, but I've never cut loose and felt so free. Callum laughs as I spread my arms and spin around. He pulls me close.
I've just seen Fee. I need to speak with her about something.
His warm breath tickles my ear, and I giggle.
Come on, sit down for a moment. Let's get you a glass of water. I fear the havoc you will cause if I leave you unattended.
He grins as he leads me to one of the tables and sits me down on the bench.
I'll be back in a moment.
He kisses my forehead.
Be good, okay?
He strides over to Fiona, who is standing by the oak doors dressed in her stable gear. It could be my imagination, but she looks a little tense. I follow her gaze to the seat at the middle of the alpha table where James now sits. He is speaking with Robert, one hand on a tankard of ale. As they're speaking, Blake walks past them to the band. Nearby, Brody is watching them play. The young male's expression is a mixture of resentment and awe, and the corner of my lip twitches. Blake whispers something to one of the band members. They change the tune they're playing to something a little slower. I sway on the bench. The melody is familiar to me, though I cannot place it. I reach for a beaker and pour myself a glass of water. When I turn back to the dance floor, Blake stands in front of me. He holds out a slender hand.
Would you care to dance?
He asks. Chapter 49. For a moment, I am speechless. My gaze travels up his black shirt, now buttoned up to the collar, and lands on his face. I cannot read his expression. He seems serious, yet his eyes glint in the torchlight as though they hold 1,000 secrets. The dance floor blurs behind him as people slow their steps to the new melody that's playing. Where have I heard this song before? You want to dance with me? I ask.
Yes.
A giggle escapes my lips, and Blake tilts his head to the side, the movement almost cat-like.
Does that amuse you, little rabbit?
I lean back against the table and take a sip from my beaker, welcoming the coldness of the water as it travels down my throat. I am hot, too hot, and my mind feels fuzzy from all the whiskey. Blake tracks my every movement as I brush a strand of hair out of my face. Do you think me a fool, Blake?
On the contrary, dance with me.
If you mean to provoke Callum, he's otherwise engaged. I put down my beaker and raise an eyebrow. You're wasting your time. He smiles, dimples puncturing his cheeks. I could almost forget that he is a manipulative snake when he looks at me like that.
I am not trying to provoke your master, little rabbit. That would be a waste of my time.
What are you trying to do, then?
Wouldn't you like to know?
I frown, Callum is not my master.
Prove it.
He glances at his hand, still outstretched.
Dance with me.
The shadows in the great hall seem to gravitate toward him as the candles flicker, as though attracted to whatever darkness resides in his soul. I laugh and shake my head. Do you truly think me so easily manipulated? He smirks.
Oh, darling, I know exactly how to manipulate you.
I'm not dancing with you, am I?
No, but you will.
What makes you so sure? He steps forward and places both hands on the table on either side of me. I breathe in sharply, inhaling his scent of the forest at night as he dips his mouth to my ear.
Because I'm playing a game, little rabbit.
His warm breath tickles my cheek.
And a part of you wants to play too, just to see if you can beat me.
He turns his face toward mine, a challenge glinting in his eyes. Then he steps back and I can breathe again. Why would I play a game with you when I am at a disadvantage? I say. I do not know the rules, nor the prize.
No, but don't you want to find out?
He holds out his hand. My mother used to tell me stories about Night, the deity who holds the keys to the moon goddess's prison. He tempts mortals into making deals with him, offering them what they desire in exchange for their souls. Blake reminds me of him right now. Dangerous and strange, with eyes gleaming with dark promises. And I hate that I am tempted, because he is right. I do want to find out what he is scheming. Yet if I dance with him, what part of my soul will he claim? He raises an eyebrow. I raise my chin. Perhaps the warm, smoky alcohol I have consumed is giving me false confidence, but I do not think that Blake is as smart as he thinks he is. I place my hand in his. A slow smile spreads across his face as his fingers curl around mine. He leads me to the dance floor. He raises our joined hands and places his other on my waist.
Do you know the dance of the dawn?
He asks. Of course.
This music follows the same rhythm.
He pulls me closer, and I place a hand on his shoulder. You wish to perform a Southlands dance in a hall full of northerners?
We are both Southlanders, are we not?
Is that the game? You wish to antagonize everyone here?
Let's play and find out, shall we?
I incline my head. Very well. I step back, and he releases me. I curtsy and he bows, as is tradition, and then we dance. We step forward, raising our hands, palms almost touching, as we circle one another. We change direction, our gazes locked, our steps careful, graceful, wary. Blake's eyes track my every movement as though he is a predator, hunting his prey. I think that people are watching us, but it would be unwise to look away from the wolf before me. As the dance progresses, it requires closer contact. Blake's hand curls around mine once more, his other flattening on the small of my back as he spins us around. My hand rests gently on his shoulder, and I fight the urge to sink my fingers into the hard muscle as he moves us faster and faster. His steps are graceful, his poise strong and confident. He is a good dancer. Too good. You said you were part of the King's Guard, I say.
I did.
I did not know that members of the King's Guard had cause to learn to dance. I lift an eyebrow. Certainly not this well. He smirks as we continue our dance around the edge of the dance floor.
You think I dance well? I should be flattered by such a compliment, coming from the princess herself.
I think you're a liar. You were not part of the King's Guard, were you? You're a man of noble birth. There is no other explanation for why you can dance. He spins me under his arm, and I inhale sharply as he pulls me back again.
Interesting theory, little rabbit. I assure you, I was in the King's Guard. I am not a man of noble birth, and there is another explanation.
I do not trust you.
Nor should you.
Tell me the explanation.
I already have, in a way.
Stop speaking in riddles. Tell me what I want to know. I raise my chin. Or I will tell everyone your secret. I smile sweetly. I think there may be a storm coming. I expect him to blanch, for his shoulder to tense beneath my fingers. Instead, He smiles, pulling me closer.
Go ahead,
he whispers.
My account of what you were doing in my chambers late at night will be quite different to yours, I assure you.
His tone is as dark and seductive as the night sky. The heat drains from my body as we continue to circle the dance floor. My pulse pounds so hard in my ears that it almost drowns out the sound that has chilled me to my core. I'm still dancing, but my movements no longer feel like my own. Everything blurs. It is Blake who is leading me, like a puppet master commanding his toy. The music has reached its crescendo, and the reason why it seemed familiar to me is now clear. I recognize this part of the song. It is the same melody my mother used to sing to me at night. The same melody I hummed to Blake when he was afraid. Why would a band of wolves in the Northlands know the tune my mother loved so dearly? Blake is watching me curiously, his head tilted slightly to one side. I narrow my eyes. What is this?
What is what?
His expression of faux innocence is betrayed by the hungry gleam in his eyes. Why did you ask them to play this music?
It is a well-known wolf melody,
he says, feigning confusion.
About the elder wolf and his love for the moon. I thought you might like it. Do you not?
I try to pull away, but his hand tightens around mine. His slender fingers are like a cold vice. He spins me around.
Do you recognize it?
He asks. You know I do. Let me go.
That wouldn't be wise, little rabbit. Everyone is watching us, including James.
I look around. People are staring at us curiously from the benches, the alcoves, the sides of the hall. The dance floor has cleared, leaving us at its center. I do not know when that happened. The Wolf King is leaning forward in his chair, an unreadable expression on his face. I search for Callum, seeking a lifeline out of this situation, but he must have left the hall to speak with Fiona. I am truly alone. My eyes meet Blake's. I don't care. I'm leaving.
You should care.
Why? He moves forward so his cheek almost touches mine and lowers his voice.
Because you are in danger. Do you truly believe James will let you stay?
No. But how does dancing with you help my situation?
That is the game, little rabbit. Play with me and find out.
I'm about to tell him that I'll take my chances, when his gaze flits over my shoulder.
Too late.
He drops my hand just as a wave of warmth washes over me. Before I can turn, I'm scooped up into big, strong arms. I breathe in sharply, hooking my hands around Callum's neck, my eyes widening in surprise as he claims my mouth with his. It is not a gentle kiss. It is hard and deep and claiming. His tongue moves in strong, dominant strokes against mine. Heat floods through my body, melting the ice as my grip tightens around his neck. I have to fight the moan that threatens to escape me. Too many people are watching. The wolf is in his eyes when he pulls back and glares at Blake. Blake steps back, his eyes dancing with amusement. I feel both him and the Wolf King watching us as Callum carries me out of the great hall. Callum snaps his fingers at Ryan as we pass.
Ryan, I'm putting the princess to bed. You'll guard her door while I attend to some business.
Ryan disentangles himself from his girlfriend, Becky, and grumbles as he follows us through the castle to my bedchambers. Put me down, I hiss as soon as we're out of earshot of the hall.
No.
I don't want to go to bed. A muscle feathers in his jaw.
You're going to bed, and you'll stay there until I return.
You're angry with me, I say as he carries me up the winding staircase to my chambers.
No.
He doesn't look at me. He pushes the door open, then drops me ungracefully on my bed. Callum! The wolf is in his eyes. He looks like a bloodthirsty warrior. Then he blinks and releases a long breath.
No.
He shakes his head, suddenly looking weary.
No, I'm not angry with you, princess.
I do not believe him. I wonder if it is because I danced with Blake, or whether something worse is going on. I push myself upright. What did Fiona want?
I'll tell you shortly.
He runs a hand over his mouth.
I need to go check on something. Stay here.
Before I can respond, he walks out of the room, closing the door behind him. I hear Ryan grumbling on the other side.
Oi, that woman in there saved your life. Twice.
Callum growls.
You can go back to smooching with your girlfriend later, but now you'll stop being an insolent pup and you'll do as I say.
Sorry, mutters Ryan.
Aye, I know. Now, no one goes in and the princess doesn't come out. Understood?
I can hardly stop her if...
You'll find a way.
Callum sounds uncharacteristically brittle.
I trust you, okay? Don't let me down.
No. I hear the sudden pride in Ryan's voice. I won't. I wake with a start. There's a hand over my mouth. I struggle with my covers, my legs tangled in my skirts. A face comes into focus in the darkness, and my pulse steadies. Callum crouches on the floorboards beside my bed. He puts a finger on his lips before pulling his palm away.
Get dressed,
he whispers, nodding at a pile of clothes he's placed by my feet.
And put on your boots.
My breathing quickens at the note of urgency in his voice. I cannot help but think of the first time he took me from my chambers. He told me to get dressed then. I refused to do anything he said. This time, I comply. I hurry out of bed, my mind fuzzy from the whiskey. My pulse kicks up when I see it is brown breeches and a white shirt that he has selected for me. I have never worn breeches before. It would be improper. I have always worn pretty dresses. I swallow. Then I turn, allowing Callum to untie the fastenings of my dress and undo my corset. His gaze burns into my back, and he tenses. I suppose with his wolf sight, he can see my scars in the darkness. I hurriedly pull on my new clothes and boots. When I turn, his jawline is hard. He fastens my cloak around my neck. What's going on? I whisper.
James,
he says darkly.
I'll explain when we're safe. Come.
He holds out his hand.
We'll leave in.
I save my questions. The worry in his brow and the shallowness of his breathing are the only answers I need right now. Whatever Fiona told him, whatever he was checking up on earlier, must be bad. I take his hand, feeling his comforting warmth as his fingers close around mine. He leads me out of my chambers. We hurry through the dark labyrinth of the castle. We take the servants' corridors, avoiding the great hall, where the wolves are still drinking and dancing, despite the late hour. We reach the entrance hall, and my heart leaps. The doors at the other end are already open, the night spilling onto the flagstones. I can taste heather and the mountains on the back of my tongue. I can taste freedom. Until Blake saunters across the room, his footsteps echoing around the space. He stops in front of the doorway, blocking our escape. Callum stills, pushing me behind him.
Going somewhere? Asks Blake.
His dark hair ripples in the breeze that comes from outside.
Don't make me hurt you,
warns Callum, his voice low, almost a growl.
You won't hurt me, says Blake, because if we fight, we'll make noise. And if we make noise, your brother will come looking. I don't think he'll be very happy that you're stealing his bargaining chip for the Heart of the Moon. Do you?
Callum swallows. I've never seen him so tense. He looks as if he's weighing his options, wondering whether he can fight his way out before his brother arrives with backup. I don't like our chances. I can hear the music and dancing from here. I step out from behind him. Please, Blake, I say softly. Blake's body is perfectly still for a moment. I cannot read him. I cannot understand what is going on in his mind right now. Then he inclines his head and steps aside. Callum releases a breath, then grabs my hand again.
Run fast, little rabbit, says Blake as we pass. The wolves are coming for you now.
Thank you, I whisper, as we step into the courtyard.
Don't thank me yet,
he smiles.
The game is far from over.
A chill ripples through me, but Callum is pulling me across the cobbled stones. We rush to the stables, where Fiona is waiting beside the grey horse we rode here on. There are two bulky bags packed and strapped to the saddle. You took your sweet time, she says, hands on her hips. She hugs Callum and he pulls her close.
Thank you,
he whispers. No need to get all emotional about it. She turns to me. Good luck, Rory. I'll see you again soon, I hope. I return her smile, despite the worry clenching in my stomach. I hope so too. Callum helps me onto the horse before mounting behind me. And then we're riding out of the castle gates and across the wild terrain. Where are you taking me? I ask. My voice is almost drowned out by the sound of the hooves thudding against the mud and the pounding of my heartbeat.
James sent a messenger to Sebastian. Everything my brother said, it was a lie. He means to send you back in exchange for the Heart of the Moon. Sebastian is on his way.
My stomach drops, and Callum's arm tightens around my waist.
He can't have you.
His voice is hard, angrier than I've ever heard it.
I'm taking you away from all this. I'm taking you to Highfell.
He pulls me closer to him, and his body heat washes over me.
I'm taking you home.
Chapter 50. We ride for hours. The night is pitch black, and I cannot see beyond a few inches in front of my face. At one point, I hear water lapping the pebbled shore of a loch. At another, wind stirs the branches of the trees, and I can smell fern and damp earth. Dark shapes loom around us. All the while, Callum is silent behind me. His chest is hard against my back, and his thighs are tense as they brush against mine. I wonder if he feels betrayed by his brother, or whether he feels as if he is betraying his people by taking me away. Or perhaps it is neither. Perhaps he is angry I danced with Blake. When Callum took me from the dance floor, his kiss was hard and dominant. It was as if he was staking his claim. Heat stirs inside me at the memory of his mouth against mine. Despite how unnecessary and inappropriate it was to do such a thing in front of so many people. He must realize he has nothing to worry about as far as Blake is concerned. I do not trust that male in the slightest. Are you okay? I ask. The wind is violent, and my voice is barely audible over the sound of the rustling trees.
Those scars on your back,
he says softly, surprising me.
How did you get them?
Memories flood my mind. The stained glass windows of the Church of Light and Sun, months of sickness and grief. The high priest and his crop. I swallow. It was a long time ago. A rough sound vibrates in Callum's chest.
Was it your father?
I turn myself to stone. A statue. Something that cannot feel pain. If you must know, I was sick, like my mother. The potions they gave me didn't help. The high priest said if he cleansed me of my sin, the goddess would spare me. I say hurriedly. And she did. His body stills behind me. I'm not sure he's breathing.
The high priest beat you.
It was only a few times.
Only?
I flinch at the loudness of Callum's voice. Yes, only, I snap. I don't want his anger. It stirs something ugly inside me that I cannot face. Now drop it. My breathing is fast, and so is his. Until finally I exhale, letting the anger plume in front of my face with my breath. I touch his wrist where it rests in my lap. I do not wish to speak of it, okay? A sound rumbles through his chest, a low growl he is clearly trying to suppress.
No one will ever touch you again.
With the heat and strength of his body cocooning me, I almost believe him. But Sebastian is riding north to get me. The wolves are surely on our tail, and Blake's warning rings in my ears. The game is far from over. We ride throughout the night. As the sun rises, the valley around us is bathed in orange light. With it, the whiskey-induced fuzziness in my head is replaced by monotonous thumping. Every jolt of the horse rattles my brain. The sound of the birds chirping is shrill and irritating, and my mouth tastes horrible. How much further is it? I say. We've been riding for hours. He chuckles.
A sore head, princess.
That is neither here nor there.
Highfell is a week's ride away. We're...
A week?
Aye.
Amusement laces Callum's tone.
A week. The Northern Pass is the quickest route to my castle, but also the most well-known. That's the route James will use to send his wolves after us. So we're taking a slight detour. When they don't find us in a few days, he'll call them off, and they'll go back to fighting the Southland's armies.
I frown. That doesn't sound sensible. My mouth is dry, and I swallow.
No.
As if sensing my thirst, Callum reaches down into one of the saddlebags and passes me a flask. I snatch it from him and greedily gulp it down.
And why is that?
James's men will get to Highfell before us. I take another sip of water, savoring the freshness that travels down my throat. They'll be waiting for us when we arrive, and we'll be captured.
If James truly wanted to capture us, then aye, that would be a good plan,
says Callum.
But he doesn't care about the Heart of the Moon. Not enough. Getting hold of that thing was always a long shot. You won't want to make an enemy out of me.
He shifts behind me, running his thumb absently over my thigh.
No, he won't bother. He'll pretend to have you lure Sebastian out and put his efforts into killing him. And good riddance to him, too. I only wish I could have been the one to do it.
Doubt seeps through me as I pass the flask back. Are you sure? You seem to be putting a lot of trust in a male who just betrayed you. Callum takes a sip, then puts the water back in the pack.
Aye, I know my brother. If we can stay out of his reach for the next couple of days, we can put all of this behind us. I'm certain of it.
He squeezes my leg.
That means we don't stop to rest until nightfall.
He chuckles as I groan. It is dark when we finally stop on the shore of a great dark loch. I sit in front of the fire Callum lit before he led the horse to a copse of trees. My headache has eased, and though my muscles ache and I'm weary from travelling, my soul feels lighter than it has in days. It's peaceful here. It seems as though we are the only souls around. Perhaps I have finally escaped my fate. When Callum doesn't return for 20 minutes or so, though, fear starts to gnaw at me. What is he doing? Has someone found him? Has he grown tired of my foul mood and abandoned me? I'm about to go look for him when he emerges from the trees, carrying some hunks of bread and cheese. The pebbles crunch beneath his boots. Relief floods me, but is quickly replaced by a strange tension as he passes me the food, then sits on a rock on the other side of the flames. Something shifts in the air. We eat in silence. It is as if we both realize we are completely alone for the first time since he took me from Sebastian's castle. Something has been growing between us since then. Strong and pervasive and passionate. Something we both thought was wrong. Yet the main reason we have not been fully intimate with one another is not because I wanted to maintain my honor. It is because Callum believed I was his prisoner. Surely he does not feel that way any longer. He gives me a soft smile. The firelight dances over his strong features. He takes a deep breath, and I think he's going to say something, but he sighs and takes another bite of bread. I offer a small smile back, then go back to my food, even though my insides are clenching. I wish I was not nervous. I wish I could walk over to him and give him what he wants, like those ladies Sebastian would send to the wolves. Yet I am lost, overwhelmed. I do not know what to do, nor what he expects from me. I swallow the last piece of bread, then brush the crumbs off my breeches. I chew my bottom lip, searching for something, anything to say to break this never-ending silence. This is This is a nice lock, I say, looking at the black water.
Aye, that it is.
Silence falls once more, punctuated only by the crackling flames. I take a deep breath, smelling wood smoke and damp earth. Can I ask you something?
Aye.
Last night, when you kissed me, were you angry with me?
No.
He smiles sheepishly.
I was jealous.
I fail to suppress the twitch of my lip. He leans forward, resting his forearms on his thighs.
I'm pleased to see my inner turmoil amuses you, Princess.
You don't need to be jealous because I danced with Blake.
Aye, I know. It's just seeing you both.
He sighs and shakes his head, running his hand over his mouth. What?
I don't know. You look like a Southlands lord and you his lady. I didn't like that. Not one little bit. In the real world, you and I'd never stand a chance with you, would I? But him.
This is the real world.
You know what I mean.
He shakes his head.
And there you go, smiling again.
Sorry, I bite my lip. It's just, you're so strong and confident all the time. I suppose it's reassuring to know you have irrational thoughts like the rest of us. A wide grin spreads across his face.
You think that's irrational?
I suppose we would never have been matched by my father. You are from the Northlands. Although, if you had worn those awful breeches of yours and put on a Southlands accent, I'm sure you could have infiltrated the palace. Once we'd met, I would have liked you. I'm certain of it.
Oh, aye?
Yes.
Perhaps. Though you thought I was a monster when we first met.
Cold shame spreads through my body. It is hard to believe I could have thought this male, this wolf, was a monster. Perhaps I was a monster, to automatically assume such a thing. I know. I'm sorry for that, I say. I've learned a lot about wolves since then.
Like what?
Well, I know they like to wander around naked a lot. Callum laughs. They're horribly inappropriate, and they like to sniff people all the time. He laughs louder. They're always fighting and brawling, and they listen to incredibly screechy music, despite their very good sense of hearing. And some of them, like humans, are not very pleasant. But some. Some are gentle and kind and funny and caring. Some are good men. The smile dies from his lips, an intensity crossing his features. The tangle of nerves in my stomach starts to tighten once more. And some of them do not know how to behave like gentlemen, I add, raising my chin. He laughs, breaking the tense moment.
Aye, that might be true. You know I've learned a lot about princesses these past few weeks, too.
I give him a hard look. Like what?
They're very stubborn.
His eyes twinkle as I fold my arms across my chest.
And very fearsome, and very small.
I glare at him and he grins.
They're a wee bit spoiled.
They are not!
And intelligent. They can't handle their whiskey, and they pretend to be very chaste and shy, but...
He drops his voice to a whisper, as though telling me a secret.
They're actually very, very demanding.
My cheeks flame, and he laughs loudly.
They blush when you say rude things to them. And they're good and interesting and honest and kind. They hide their emotions, but they feel deeply, passionately.
His expression becomes serious, and my blood heats up.
They care about people more than they will admit. And they're brave. Braver than any wolf I've ever known.
There's a tightness in my throat, and I swallow, trying to push it back. I do not know what is wrong with me. It's just...
I've upset you?
Asks Callum, frowning. The backs of my eyes burn. I sniffle, trying to suppress the feelings that threaten to come. Some of the things you said were bad.
Goddess, I'm sorry, Princess.
Usually, people say I'm pretty. My voice is thick. Callum's eyebrows raise.
Oh, you are? I didn't mean to offend you by not mentioning.
No. I blink a couple of times. You don't understand. That's usually all they say. And it's not even me they're complimenting. It's a version of me. It's not real. It's makeup and dresses, and them wanting to get into my father's good graces. I take a deep breath, wiping my eyes on the back of my hand. I feel Callum watching me. No one has ever tried to know me before. I take a shuddery breath, tasting the wood smoke that twists in the darkness. His gaze is so fierce that it is hard to hold it. Not until you. His jaw is hard, his posture still. He says nothing for a moment, then removes his arms from his thighs and sits back.
Come here,
he says. My pulse is fast as I get up and walk toward him. His body heat and scent wash over me as he parts his thighs for me to stand between them. He takes my hand in both of his.
I do want to know you. I want to know everything about you.
I want that too. He runs his thumb over my skin, and his touch is gentle. He swallows hard.
You're not my prisoner anymore.
No. I do not bother to add that I don't believe I ever really was. I am ensnared, unable to think properly, unable to speak. There is need in his eyes. Hunger. His chest moves up and down deeply, his breathing as ragged as mine. I feel as if we are on the edge of a storm that is about to break. He drags his teeth over his bottom lip. He stands up, his large frame looming over me.
Come,
he says, his voice gruff.
I want to show you something.
Chapter 51. My heart is in my throat as Callum leads me across the shore. Pebbles crunch underfoot. His hand is firm and warm around mine. I am reminded of the first time I took his hand, back in Sebastian's castle. Like now, I was nervous, uncertain of what was to come. I took his hand anyway. I think I will always take his hand, if he offers it to me. My mother once told me that we always have a choice. I chose Callum that day, when I turned my back on my people and travelled with him to the kingdom of my enemies. Sometimes it does not feel like a choice at all. It feels inevitable, like the setting of the sun and the rising of the moon. What other choice could there be? It feels as if it has always been him. This, everything has led to this moment. Nerves tangle in my stomach, because I think I know what is going to happen next, what Callum might expect from me. I want to give him it, yet I cannot deny that I fear it a little too. When Callum gently squeezes my hand, he must be able to hear the pounding of my pulse. He leads me through the copse of trees he disappeared into earlier, nudging aside an overhanging branch with his free arm. The scent of wet pine is released into the cool night air, and a few raindrops, collected among the needles, fall on me as I follow him. I stop, my eyes widening with surprise. I nudge past him. What's this? I ask. We are on the shore of the loch, but we're partially sheltered from the Northland's winds by the trees on one side, and steep rocky land on the other. In the centre of the intimate clearing, there's a tent.
I remembered the last time I tried to get you to sleep on the ground.
Every sense in my body is attuned to him as he steps closer.
Do you like it?
Warmth spreads through me at the slight note of uncertainty in his tone. He seems almost nervous. The tent is triangular in shape, and it's small. It is high enough to sit or kneel inside, but certainly not to stand. The fabric is off-white, and it has seen better days. It reminds me of a miniature worn-out version of the tents that my father and brother stayed in when they went hunting. Teams of servants would ride ahead of the hunting party to erect them before the noble men and women arrived. The structures would be dressed in silks and banners, some with interiors as nice as rooms in the palace itself. this tent is nothing like that. And yet, it is so much better. Because Callum did this. He did this for me. An unfamiliar rush of emotion surges through my body. Yes, I say softly. I like it very much.
Do you want to go inside?
Again, that slight note of uncertainty in his tone, as if part of him expects me to say no. My pulse hammers against my chest. I nod, crouch down, and crawl through the opening. Red tartan rugs, furs, and cushions cover the ground, giving it a cozy feel, despite the cool air and the breath that plumes in front of my face. A candle Callum must have lit earlier flickers at one side, filling the space with warm orange light. I kneel upright and smile. I'm about to turn around when the fabric rustles. Callum's thighs brush my hips as he kneels behind me and places a hand flat on my stomach. A lick of heat flares in the pit of my stomach as my back touches his chest.
I wanted to do more.
He runs his thumb along my torso, and I wish my shirt wasn't in the way of his touch.
We could only carry so much on horseback.
It's perfect.
I'm glad you like it.
He dips his mouth and kisses the sensitive spot behind my ear, then peppers a trail of kisses on the back of my neck. I suppress a moan.
Goddess,
he says.
I've wanted to be alone with you like this for so long.
Gently, he tugs the hem of my shirt out of my breeches and slides his hand beneath. His palm is rough and warm as it skims my torso. My gaze snaps down, transfixed, as he moves his hand lower and unfastens the button of my breeches. My heart is hammering against my chest. It is almost deafening in my ears. I want his hand there. I ache for it. There is heat between my legs, throbbing and wet, and it is almost unbearable. And it is not as if he hasn't touched me there before. Yet it feels different this time. Perhaps because it means something. It symbolizes that I am truly leaving the past behind. It solidifies the truth and the choice I made so many nights ago. I choose him. Or perhaps it is because before, when we were in his bed, he was only willing to give to me. This time, he will take from me too. I have not done this before. What if I disappoint him? Callum stills. He removes his hands from the fastening of my breeches and flattens his palm on my bare torso.
You don't need to fear me,
he says softly. I'm not afraid. I exhale, realizing there is no use in trying to hide my emotions from him. You can hear my heartbeat, can't you?
Aye.
He lets out a breathy laugh.
I can't.
I'm sorry.
Turn around.
I shuffle, the fur soft beneath my knees, and face him. He shifts to accommodate me between his thighs. He looks so huge and strong in the small space, his head almost brushing the fabric ceiling of the tent. His expression is soft.
Give me your hand,
he says. He brushes his lips against my knuckles, then presses my hand against his chest. His heartbeat thumps quickly, agitatedly against my palm. My eyes snap up to his. You're afraid.
I told you. You're a fearsome creature.
When I narrow my eyes, he grins.
No, I'm not afraid. I am.
He drags his teeth over his bottom lip.
I'm excited. Excited that I have you alone. But I'm nervous too. I'm nervous that I will not please you. I'm nervous you will not share your emotions with me, and I will push you too hard. I'm nervous that I will scare you away.
He inclines his head at me.
Now it's your turn. Tell me what it is that you fear.
My pulse beats faster. I am not used to sharing my emotions with anyone. I'm not used to people caring what I think or what I want. Or what I feel. Yet this evening, I have already shared more than I have before in my life. Callum lets the silence extend, stroking my knuckles with his thumb his heart thumping beneath my fingers. The air in the tent is hot, too hot, stifling. I swallow. I am scared, I admit. It is not because I fear you. I do not. It's just... I glance away, not quite able to meet his eye. I have not done this before. I do not know how to do it. I do not know what to expect, or what is expected from me. It may not... My cheeks flame. It may not be very good for you. I expect him to laugh at me, but instead he raises my chin.
I will not hide from you that I want you,
he says.
I've wanted you since the moment I first set eyes on you. I told myself I took you from the borderlands because I needed you for the Heart of the Moon. But I think even then, I knew the truth. I couldn't bear the thought of leaving you there. And I wanted you, goddess, I wanted you. I've been like a lovesick pup since that moment. I think about you all the time. I want to make you smile and make you happy and to impress you.
He lets out a half laugh.
I don't usually make a habit of wearing breeches. I wore them because I thought you might like me in them.
His eyes darken.
And I want to lose myself in you too. I want to feel your warmth and your heat. I want to take my pleasure from you.
His heart thumps quickly beneath my fingers, despite the stillness of his body.
But I do not expect anything from you. Do not think that for a minute, and don't apologize, nor think you could ever disappoint me. We will only do what you want, Aurora. We will take this only as far as you wish to take it. There is no rush.
He smiles, and the pressure bearing down on me lifts. Yet the air in this tent does not feel any easier to breathe. It feels hot and thick and static.
It's just you and me now. We have all the time in the world.
He cups my face in his hand.
Tell me, what do you want, princess? If you only want to lie down and go to sleep in my arms, I will still think myself the luckiest wolf in the Northlands.
Warmth swells inside me. What do I want? I have asked myself this question many times since I came to the Kingdom of Wolves. It was a question I never dared ask myself before I left with Callum. And for the first time, it seems, I have an answer. I want him. This. Us. Still, I am lost, inexperienced, out of my depth. I do not want to go to sleep, I tell him, and a slow grin spreads across his face. But, well, I do not know. Specifically. My cheeks feel hot. He inclines his head gently, as if he understands.
How about I tell you what I want, and you can tell me whether or not you find it agreeable?
I swallow and incline my head.
Good.
He says.
I want you to take off your shirt, so I can see you.
His eyes glint as he waits to see if I will do it. I pull my hand away from his chest. The smile dies from his lips as slowly I unfasten the buttons. His eyes track my every movement as I part the material, then shrug the shirt off my shoulders. He makes a low sound in his throat, almost a growl. My breasts feel heavy, swollen, and my nipples harden at the approval that ripples from him in waves. I expect him to touch me. I want him to touch me, but his arms remain at his sides. His biceps strain against his sleeves as if he's restraining himself.
Good.
He nods, and his voice is gruff.
Now your breeches too. I want to see all of you.
My breathing quickens, but I shift back. I take off my boots. I touch the already open fastening of my breeches. He inclines his head. I pull down my breeches and underwear and shuffle out of them. The wolf flickers behind his eyes. He swallows, his jawline hardening.
Come here,
he says. I move closer. One of his hands cups my hip. His other moves to the back of my neck, his thumb stroking my cheek.
No, I want you to kiss me.
I lean forward and brush my lips against his. He groans softly before claiming my mouth with his. His hand slides into my hair, his tongue moving in deep, hot strokes against mine. His kisses are dominant, powerful, hungry. It is as if whatever control he has been keeping over himself is slipping, and the beast inside him has been set free, and I want it. I crave it. I match his wildness with my own, wrapping my arms around his neck, pulling his face closer. He groans, and my body melts into his. A jolt of pleasure surges through me as my nipples brush against his shirt. His hand moves lower down, cupping my bum and squeezing. I whimper. He pulls back. Despite my vulnerability, a thrill courses through me at the way he is looking at me, as though I am the only thing in the world, as though he wants to devour me. He is holding back, his chest rising and falling deeply, his muscles tense. I almost whimper. I may be naked, but the Alpha of Hyphal is on his knees before me, waiting for me to give him permission. What do you want me to do next? I ask, my voice breathy. His jaw tightens.
I want you to lay down and spread your legs for me.
I breathe in sharply at the impropriety of what he's asking me to do. A surge of heat floods me and makes it hard to think straight. My core throbs, aches. I shuffle backward. I lie down on the furs and rugs and rest my head on one of the cushions. All I can hear is my heart pounding in my ears. Tentatively, I spread my legs. A low sound scrapes against his throat as he curses under his breath. He shifts closer and pushes my knees further apart to spread me even wider for him. The wolf is dominant in his eyes as he stares at the place between my legs that aches and throbs with need. My cheeks flame. Yet beyond the shame of letting him look at the most intimate part of me, I feel powerful. He seems completely enthralled.
Fuck. You're so beautiful.
His eyes travel up my body. His eyelids seem heavy, and his breathing is fast.
Do you want to know what I want you to do for me next?
I nod, breathless, sure that whatever it is, I will give it to him. I will give anything to keep him looking at me in this way. Anything that might ease this throbbing ache inside me. The corner of his lip quirks.
I want you to come in my mouth, against my tongue as I taste you.
I blush deeply, heat surging through my body.
Do you think you can do that for me?
He asks. Yes, I whisper. Chapter 52. Callum smiles. His rough hands slide down my inner thighs, holding me open. Keeping his gaze on mine, he dips his mouth to my most intimate place and drags his tongue along my center. I gasp, my back arching from the pile of rugs and furs beneath me. A low growl rumbles in Callum's chest.
Fuck.
He groans against me, causing me to whimper.
This is all I've been able to think about since I had you in my bed. You have no idea how much I'm going to enjoy devouring you.
Then his mouth is on me, hot and wet. He feasts on me. His tongue slides up and down my core hungrily, greedily, as if he cannot get enough of me. He spreads me wider still and groans. I cry out, my fingers curling in the furs. Callum! I gasp. I grow more feral with each lick and suck and growl. I feel like a caged storm that needs to be set free. I rock against his mouth, desperate for more of this feeling, more of him. A low, throaty sound escapes him and vibrates against my center.
That's it, princess. Take your pleasure from me.
He slides his hands up my waist and holds me firmly against his mouth as I move my hips. When I cry out, he moves one hand up my chest and plays with my nipple as he continues to stroke my center with his tongue. It is almost too much to bear. Merely the sight of his big shoulders between my spread legs, his mouth moving against me, his eyes primal, is almost enough to push me over the edge. But then he teases my opening with his tongue before sliding inside. I cry out with the surprise of it. My back arches and my head rolls back. Goddess! And I am lost. I cannot think anymore. I am not a human, not a princess. I do not know my name or where I am. I am just this feeling, this pleasure. I grab his wrist as he palms my breast, holding onto him, stopping myself from floating away completely. He brings his other hand to my inner thigh. He rubs the wet, sensitive bundle of nerves with his thumb, moving in circles. The sensation of his tongue and his thumb, stimulating different parts of me at the same time, provokes sounds from me I have never made before. Animalistic moans as I rock against him. Callum, I feel, goddess! He groans, and release crashes through me. I cry out, loudly, my back arching, my body shuddering as ripples of pleasure consume me. Callum continues to lick and suck, as if determined to devour every last drop of me, until finally I still. He kisses me once more between my legs, then crawls up my body, placing his forearms on either side of my head and caging me within them. His lips are swollen and wet, and the wolf is behind his eyes as he looks down at me. I'm breathing fast, and so is he. I'm not sure whether the pounding of my heart is due to the release that crashed over me, or whether it is nervousness, anticipation of what might come next. I want to give him what he just gave me. I want him to come undone. I pull his face down to mine, and I kiss him. He groans into my mouth, stroking my tongue in the same expert way he moved between my legs. Heat starts to pool again, more so when I realize his hard length is pushing against my thigh through the rough material of his kilt. I hook my ankles around his, melting into his solid body.
Now, tell me what you want, princess.
He murmurs against my lips.
Tell me what you want, and I shall give it to you.
What do I want? I want him. All of him. I push him gently, so that he is kneeling. With shaking fingers, I undo the buttons of his shirt. I untuck it from his kilt, then slide it off his big shoulders. His breathing deepens as he watches me. He keeps his hands at his sides, as if waiting for permission to touch me more. I swallow and look down at his kilt. I want you to take it off. He cups my cheek and kisses me gently.
Okay.
He shifts back to unlace and pull off his boots, struggling in the confines of the small space. When it comes to taking off his kilt, he curses again as he tries to maneuver out of it and kicks one of the walls of the tent.
Ah, this isn't very dignified,
he says. I giggle, and his grin widens.
Give me a second. I fear I shall ruin the mood.
He ducks out of the tent, letting in a refreshing gust of cool night air through the flap, only to reemerge a few seconds later without any clothes on. My heart catches in my throat as he kneels in front of me again. I look down at his sculpted torso and strong, muscular arms. How can a male be built this way? I drag my fingers down the ridges of his torso, and he takes a deep, shuddery breath. I saw him naked once before, in the forest when he shifted from a wolf to a man. I didn't give myself permission to look openly then, but I do now. His length is hard, thick, his arousal obvious. My insides clench. I do not know much about the anatomy of men, but I know this part of him will be inside me. And for that reason, it seems large, larger than I was expecting. My heart beats a little faster, yet heat pools between my legs, and an ache begins to grow. My fingers twitch. I start to move my hand lower, but he shifts forward and lays me down on the rugs, enveloping me in his searing body heat. And how strange it is to have a naked male on top of me. I run my hands over his shoulders, then trace my fingers down the muscles of his back. "You're beautiful," I tell him.
"I knew you thought I was handsome."
I giggle, and his eyes dance with mischief. He kisses me deeply, languidly, his mouth claiming mine and his hand sliding into my hair. "I want," I murmur against his lips.
"Tell me,"
he whispers.
"Anything, it is yours."
"I want..." I take a shaky breath, unused to voicing my desires. "I want you to take your pleasure from me." He looks down at me, his breath mingling with mine.
"Are you sure?"